As the Passover nears, the city of Jerusalem is filled with expectation and anticipation. The city streets are alive, not just with the usual hustle and bustle of the season, but with a sense of expectation that you can feel. Whispers of hope and longing for a Messiah to overthrow this oppressive Roman government is in the air. And it is against this backdrop of yearning and political tension that Jesus chooses to make his entrance. But here's where things take an unexpected turn. Instead of this grand entrance befitting a warrior king ready to reclaim his throne and liberate his people through force, Jesus comes in a manner that's quite unexpected. There's no stallions, there's no chariots of fire, no legions of armies marching in formation. No, Jesus enters Jerusalem riding on a humble colt, a beast of burden, fulfilling an ancient prophecy in a way that left many in Jerusalem at that time scratching their heads. Zechariah wrote long ago, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Zechariah 9:9. This fulfillment of prophecy is loaded with symbolism and significance. It's a clear statement from Jesus about the kind of Messiah he came to be. Not one who conquers with swords and shields, but one who reigns with peace and humility. Jesus' choice of the colt as his mode of transportation into Jerusalem is a deliberate one, designed to challenge the expectations of the crowds and redefine what true kingship looks like. As we look closer at the narrative and using some of the other Gospels to round it out, we may need to re-examine some of our own ideas about Jesus. In this story, we witness the entrance of a king like no other, whose throne is a cross and whose crown is made up of thorns. This is the story of Palm Sunday, a day that marks the beginning of the end of Jesus' earthly ministry and sets the stage for the ultimate demonstration of love and sacrifice shown on the cross. As we move into this narrative of Jesus' entrance into the tomb, we see something that might seem a little bit out of the ordinary at first glance. In the reading from John, it says, Jesus found a young donkey, sort of like we find a lost dog that has gotten away from its owner. But if we look at the Gospel of Mark, Jesus gave his disciples very specific instructions. He tells them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. From Mark chapter 11. And just as Jesus said, that's exactly how the disciples find things. The disciples found the colt, were questioned, and upon answering, they were allowed to bring the colt to Jesus. I think it's worth pausing here so we can think and absorb what is actually happening. Jesus' directions to his disciples are not just some random set of instructions. They are a clear demonstration of his sovereignty, of his divinity. He knows about the colt. He knows its location. And even more, he knows the conversation that the disciples will have here with the bystanders. And more than that, this act fulfills the prophecy from Zechariah chapter 9 that we heard earlier. This picture of sovereignty and divinity is reflected elsewhere in the Bible and in the world here today. What Jesus says happens. His words are true and they do what they say. Jesus says he's coming back and will judge the living and the dead. So how do we prepare our hearts for Jesus' return, his kingship? The people of Jerusalem were looking for a hero to liberate them from Roman oppression. But Jesus came as a humble servant. Many people missed him because of their own expectations. In our own lives, do we see or find ourselves expecting Jesus to be a certain way, to act within our wants and our needs? Or are we open to the reality of his kingship and kingdom, one that prioritizes love and service and humility over power, dominance, and control? As Jesus makes his way into Jerusalem, the crowd responded by taking palm branches and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." This moment is so full of meaning. The crowd's actions and shouts paint a vivid picture of royal honor and royal victory. Spreading cloaks on the road was a sign of submission and respect, an act of homage to the king. The waving of branches and the cries of Hosanna, which means "save us now, please," are not just expressions of joy. They're desperate cries for deliverance and acknowledgement of Jesus as the promised Messiah from the line of David. This small but joyous parade mirrors a royal procession, yet it is unfolding in a way that defies normal expectations. Jesus enters not like a political king on a war horse with a legion of soldiers following him, but on a humble colt, followed by a humble procession of ordinary people. And in spite of this, Palm Sunday stands as a powerful declaration of Jesus' kingship, a kingship that turns the world's expectations upside down. It invites us to reconsider what victory truly looks like. It's not about worldly power or domination, but about salvation, peace, humility. This day challenges us to align our lives with the values of Jesus' kingdom, to spread our cloaks before him in submission, and to wave our branches in genuine praise and worship. So let us shout our own hosannas from the depth of our hearts, not just as a cry of salvation, but as a declaration of our allegiance to Jesus, the King who comes in the name of the Lord. May our lives this day and every day reflect the honor and the submission that he deserves. And may we be a people who truly live believing in his victorious reign. As the parade continues, Jesus arrives at a destination that speaks loudly about his mission and the nature of his kingdom. In Mark, we learn that he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. At first glance, when we read this, we might think that this is just some simple observation of where Jesus was and his surroundings. However, Jesus' visit to the temple, the heart of the Jewish religious life, underscores his primary concern for spiritual, not political, freedom. Jesus' choice to go to the temple immediately after his triumphant entry reveals the core of his mission, to call his people back to true worship and to cleanse what had become a system mired in corruption and empty ritual. His inspection of the temple hints at the forthcoming cleansing, a dramatic act recorded in all four of the Gospels. Jesus' focus on spiritual renewal invites us to examine our own spiritual health. Are there areas of our faith that have become more about ritual rather than relationship? Have we allowed the temples of our hearts to become cluttered with anything that detracts from true worship and devotion to God? As we consider Jesus' visit to the temple, Let it be a reminder to us of the importance of spiritual integrity and the constant need for renewal in our relationship with God. Let us be inspired by Jesus' example to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, trusting that as we do, our lives will bear the kind of fruit that lasts for eternity. The jubilant shouts of Hosanna that filled the air on Palm Sunday soon give way to the cries of "Crucify Him!" just a few days later. This stark contrast between the crowd's initial enthusiasm and their subsequent rejection of Jesus serves as a witness to the nature of human loyalty and the challenges that we face loving Jesus and His kingdom. The shift in the crowd's response to Jesus highlights a troubling aspect of our human nature. Our tendency to support whatever serves our own interests and turn away when confronted with the true cost of discipleship. Jesus' journey from being hailed as a king to being condemned as a criminal exposes the fickle nature of human loyalty. It underscores the difficulty we face in truly submitting to Jesus' lordship, especially when His ways diverge from our own expectations or desires. So as we consider these events from Holy Week, let our hearts be drawn to a deeper understanding of what it means to truly hail Jesus as our King. May our cries of Hosannas be more than fleeting words of praise. Let them be an expression of a steadfast commitment to follow Him, come what may, to include Jesus' call to take up our cross daily. Let this be a time for us to renew our dedication to Christ, to affirm our allegiance to His kingship, and to walk in the way of the cross, which leads to resurrection and life. Palm Sunday stands as a powerful invitation to acknowledge Jesus as our King. Yet it also calls us to grapple with the nature of His kingdom, a kingdom characterized by humility, service, and sacrifice. As we step into Holy Week, let's take time to reflect on the significance of Jesus' journey to the cross, the depth of His love for us, and what it truly means to live under His rule. Let's commit to honoring Him not only with our words, but with our very lives, fully embracing the Messiah and the unexpected nature of His kingdom. Amen.